You might be able to figure out what our lesson is on tonight. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything. But we're looking at the last word that was in the book of 1 John as we have been reading all week. 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all our sins. We've already looked at the first two words in that text, the walking and the light. And tonight we just want to touch on the idea of fellowship, and probably from a little bit of different perspective than you might think. If you look in your Bibles in the book of Psalm chapter 61, there's a psalm there that David wrote. It doesn't have the word fellowship in the psalm, or 63 rather, Psalm 63. It doesn't have the word fellowship in it. But it does certainly give that a wonderful aroma of fellowship. In Psalm 63, beginning in verse 1, David says, O God, You are my God. Early I will seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory, because Your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as the marrow in the fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. When I remember You on my bed, I meditate on You in the night watches, because You have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of Your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind You. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. For they shall fall by the sword. They shall be portion for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by Him shall glory. By the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Our fellowship with God is something magnificent. David recognizes that. David recognizes that this world is not his home, and he thirsts for God. His flesh longs for God. David said that, I've looked for You in the sanctuary. Fellowship is such a powerful and important thing. And other than the word works, fellowship is probably one of the most misused words in the religious world. We know how people misuse the word works, and but you think of the word fellowship, and people, they misapply that word so often. They don't understand that the word is in the Bible is used in context to only spiritual things. We cannot have fellowship apart from the Spirit of God. We cannot have fellowship without being in Christ. We cannot have fellowship without abiding in the precious word of the Lord. In fact, we can't have fellowship if we don't abide in Christ, the vine, the true vine. He said if we don't abide in Him, that we'll be cut off. And so fellowship is very important. And we want to look at that for a little bit and realize that fellowship, it's really about our life together with God. Certainly, the word fellowship is used between the saints. Our fellowshipping in the Lord's Supper, our fellowshipping in prayers, our fellowshipping in songs, our fellowshipping in teaching or admonishing one another, and in and preaching even. And we enjoy those fellowships, those times. But none of those things matter if our fellowship isn't in Christ, if it's not in God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Scripture reads, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers." And when you read that text, we understand today that many churches, they don't apply that properly. But we do, as the Lord's people, apply a great and precious importance upon that text. Because the fellowship there that is being spoken of is the fellowship they have in Christ through the partaking of the Lord's Supper, being fervent in prayer. These things are certainly important, but what of this fellowship? Do we properly understand the facet of the Lord's church when we think of the word fellowship? Are we practicing in a way that is consistent? And that we can look at examples of the early church. Did they do that? And beginning with this lesson, we want to examine the subject of fellowship in the light of what the Scriptures actually do say about it. And it might surprise you that we won't really look up every word of fellowship in the Scripture. The objective that we want to have in our minds is to ensure a proper understanding, a proper application of this very biblical text. We want to, of course, look beginning here with the vines. Vines says that communion is a sharing in common, to communicate, to partake, or have a partnership in anything. And so the word fellowship can apply to groups that we have outside the body of Christ. It can apply to our business. It can apply to friends that we fish and golf with. Certainly the word fellowship can apply there. But it's more important for us to understand that how it is applied in the Scripture contextually so that we don't misapply the word in the church. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:9 that we were called, our calling, which is our fellowship, is through the gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 and 15, the Apostle Paul, he thanks God that from the very, very beginning, God chose from the beginning that the salvation would be by sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. What is truth? Sanctify them by your word. Thy word is truth. John 17 and 17. And so, so important for us to do that and to pay attention. We are called by the gospel, Paul said to the Thessalonians, and we need to stand fast and hold to the traditions and the beliefs and the truths that were taught in the Bible. And that's the primary goal, to have good fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, the apostle says that in Christ you have been begotten through the gospel. We're born again of that gospel. That's what James said in James 1:18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Fellowship has so much to do, in fact, nearly everything to do with our obeying the gospel. God is faithful to us. He called us into fellowship. And that method of this calling was through the gospel. Understand that our souls are purified. We're born again. We are saved and we become God's children through faith in the Word of God, to believe in the truths of God, to submit ourselves to the demands of God, to be obedient to God Himself. In 1 Peter chapter 1, if you could look at that, 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 22 and following, the Scripture, Peter writes, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. In the bottom half of verse 25 says, now this is the word by which the gospel was preached to you. That's where our fellowship starts. In fact, that's where our fellowship will end one day, when all these things are delivered up to God. And those who have remained fast, in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, hold fast the word which I preach to you. When we hold fast, our fellowship will also hold fast. In James chapter 1 and verse 21, James says, therefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. You see, when we obey the gospel, when we seek these kinds of truths, our souls are saved and we are in fellowship with God. That's what 1 John has been teaching us since the last 2 weeks that we've studied it in the Sunday messages. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship. If we walk in the light, we'll have that fellowship. Fellowship involves various facets of our faith, facts of worship, facets of work in the service, in faith. And all of these things have to be authorized. All of these things have to be directed by God. And all of these things have to be from God through Christ, through the Word and the inspired writers of the New Testament in order for them to qualify as fellowship. And by approved examples that we can get necessary inferences from the Scriptures concerning the subject. Believers engage in true worship to God through Jesus have fellowship with the Father and the Son and with each other. Is that not what our text has been teaching us? As long as we're walking in the light, as long as we're obeying the gospel, then we have that fellowship with one another. And truly our fellowship is with who? The Father and the Son. In John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, Jesus says, the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. We need to worship God. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. We understand that the spirit and truth is God's word. And that's where our fellowship begins. And it's all according to Revelation. Our fellowship in the church, our fellowship with Christ and God, then, it's spiritual in nature. And we have to remember that, because if we leave out the spiritual side, we open the door for all kinds of trouble. You know, we've always taught you got to have book, chapter, verse for everything you do. And in order to be walking in the light, and in order to enjoy that fellowship, we need to be in the light, which we talked about today. We talked about how to walk and how to be in the light. Being in the light means that we're bathed in God's Word. That we're hungering and desiring for that Word of truth. And so when we think of in terms of our fellowship in spirit and truth, then we know that God's Word has to come first. And so we don't open the door for false teachers. We don't open the door for somebody to come in and tell us that there is no resurrection, that Jesus has already, there's always already been the second coming of Christ, rather, and that we're just kind of taking futile steps, the AD 70 doctrine. We know better than that. Our fellowship is with Christ. He hasn't come back yet. If he hadn't come back yet, why are we still serving communion? And so our fellowship has to be in the truth. And it's spiritual in nature. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17 with me. In verse 16, Paul talks about the cup of the blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion? That's a Greek word, koinonia. That fellowship, it's translated fellowship often. But it's that communion that we have of the body of Christ. And Paul says, though we are many, there are many, there's only one bread and one body, and we all partake of that one bread and that one body. That's how we have spiritual fellowship together, through the communion of the Lord. We're all partakers of the same thing. When Paul taught in Ephesians chapter 4 that we all needed to endeavor to keep the unity of the faith and the bond of peace, that's a directive for fellowship. Fellowship through the faith of God, in the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. Can you see that the fellowship that we share in taking the Lord's Supper, we do together? And it's a spiritual fellowship. It's not filling or meeting any physical need that we have in our bodies. We don't come hungry and leave full physically. We're not sitting down eating a meal that was talked about, Paul talked about in Corinthians, to those men who would come and they would just take it as a common meal despite the Spirit of grace, or despise the Spirit of grace. This communion that we take, it's a small piece of bread and a small bit of the vine. And it's spiritual. It meets the spiritual need. That's our fellowship. Fellowship, in order for it to be Bible context, everything that we quote, say we do in fellowship in one with another has to meet a spiritual need. So many churches today, they build fellowship halls. There's a misapplication of the word. Of course, when you think about it, we have a fellowship hall. Do we not? Sure we do, right here. This is this building that we come in to have fellowship one with another in Jesus Christ through God and through the Holy Spirit of truth. So we have a fellowship hall. But it's not meeting a physical need. It's meeting our spiritual needs. We come here to sing. We come here to praise. We come here to pray. And we come here to hear the gospel to be taught or to teach. We come here for the Lord's Supper. We come here to give part of our means to the Lord for the work of the church. And so it isn't like meeting a physical need when we have fellowship outside the body of Christ and we meet up with some friends at McDonald's or someplace and we have a dinner together. Sure, we're in fellowship with another, but it's not the fellowship that the Bible talks about. In context with the Bible, that's not a Christian fellowship. That is just a secular fellowship, a social fellowship. And it meets the needs. But it's not according to the Spirit. We're not out to fulfill our physical needs. The same was true in Acts chapter 2 and verse 44 that we read. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the fellowship of the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And that's what we want to remember about that side of fellowship. Those who are taught the truth are to have fellowship with those who teach the truth. I hope that makes sense to you. I teach the truth, or I'm taught the truth rather, and I have fellowship with the people who teach me the truth, and vice versa. Our fellowship is together. And as we endeavor to have that kind of a fellowship, we realize that we're a people who can fulfill each other's needs in the church. And that's a goal that we need to have. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 there, you know, Paul exhorted the Galatians to serve one another, to help one another. In Philippians chapter 4, it's the same thing, serving one another, being concerned, sharing for each other in support of the work of the church. And so in Romans chapter 12, you know, we have distributing to the needs of the saints. That's all part of Christian fellowship, giving of hospitality. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're not to forget to do good and to share. The Hebrew writer says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And apart from baptism, I don't know that there's anything else that would bring a greater joy to God than to see His children in fellowship spiritually with one another. Without bickering, without complaining, doing everything for one another. And so that's so important. Again, we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit by abiding in the revealed truth. We have that mind of God given to us by God in the Scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we're told by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, that is something that we all can share in. Paul comparing the difference between the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, as we read there, verse 13 through 16. Prior to that, Paul's talking about the men who, they're just depending upon their own wisdom. But Paul says, these things we also speak, not in the words of men's wisdom that they teach, but in the Holy Spirit, that what the Holy Spirit teaches, we compare. We're comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And so when you read the word fellowship in the Bible, it's not talking about golf. It doesn't tell us anywhere in the Bible that Peter, James, and John went fishing in fellowship with one another and enjoyed the afternoon. And I'm not saying they didn't. I'm saying that the word fellowship in the Bible, it applies to spiritual things. In that same text in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul says that people are foolish because they're spiritually discerned. They don't study to show themselves approved. They don't rightly divide the word of truth. They see the word fellowship, so they apply it to everything that they do. So the church has a fellowship hall. In the fellowship hall, they do jazzercise. And the church has a fellowship hall and a building off to the side where they have a daycare. And the church has a fellowship hall where they do drug and alcohol treatment centers. And the list goes on and on and on. If we don't hold to the Word of God, that word fellowship can drag us way out from God. But we need to be walking in the light in order to have that fellowship. He who is spiritual, Paul says, judges all things. And so let's judge and be careful that our fellowship is in the mind of Christ. That's what Paul tells us we have in that text, in 2 Corinthians 13. And so we need that. Paul says if there's any fellowship in the Spirit, if there's any affections or mercies, those are the things we need to meditate on. The things that are fellowshipping in the Spirit. So hopefully it's obvious or clear at this point. At least I'm trying to make the point that fellowship in the Bible doesn't refer to common meals. It doesn't refer to golf. It doesn't refer to fishing. It doesn't having fun food and fellowship. It's a very spiritual in nature. We have fellowship with Jesus. Jesus suffered for us, and our fellowship with Jesus often includes our suffering for the sake of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13, the apostle, he writes that we rejoice to the extent that you partake in Christ's sufferings. We have fellowship with Christ through those sufferings. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10, we have fellowship in His sufferings again, Paul writes. In Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, joint heirs through Christ Jesus. We have fellowship with Jesus when we walk in the light. See, that's what that text says. When we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Christian fellowship is a spiritual relationship with the Father. This morning I was talking to Brother Randy. I think it was Brother Randy. And, you know, I think it was in the class this morning, and we talked about the idea of spiritual. When you ask the people out in the world, what is spiritual? Are you spiritual? Yeah, I'm spiritual. What's it mean? And almost always you get the answer, I believe in Jesus. That's what spiritual means to most people. I believe in Jesus. It's not that I do think Bible things, Bible ways, that I use Bible words for Bible thoughts, and it's not that I compare spiritual things with spiritual things. It's just, I believe in Jesus. And friends, there's no fellowship if that's all you know about the Spirit. What you have there is a fellowship with a word. Not the word, but just a single word. We're joint heirs through that fellowship. We have no fellowship with God and Christ when we walk in darkness and sin. When we join, we are joint partakers of human denominationalism. We don't have fellowship. Catholicism and any other church or institution of men originating by the wisdom of men, we don't have fellowship. When we're eating and drinking, partying, engaging in recreation and social activities, and when we are participants in any venture, program, or project, unauthorized. And you've got to underline that word, unauthorized, in the New Testament. In other words, show me where it says that. So many people want to have fellowship halls because they believe that the old way just isn't bringing people in. So they create this innovation and they call it a fellowship hall. They misapply that word. Because what they're really saying is a social hall. It's just a different way to say we're building a social hall. Or they build something called a family life center. Boy, that sounds good, doesn't it? We ought to build one of those. We can expand off the back of the building here. Have a family life. What's wrong? How could that be wrong? Because that's just another word for gymnasium. And those don't meet spiritual needs. Book, chapter, verse. You show me a fellowship hall in the Bible and we'll build one. You show me a gymnasium authorization for that, we'll build one. But see, that's where people go awry, is because we have to demand book, chapter, verse for everything that we do in the church. But so many people misuse and abuse the word fellowship. Sadly, religious-minded people are taking this word and twisting it, trying to make it authorized in order to fit and to give respectability to the word. And as many fads, fashions, fancies, things that people want to promote that include sales of items in the building or within the church, they promote participation by people who don't really know the truth of God as revealed in the New Testament. You know, they're leaving their faith is what they're doing in the light of God's Word for the darkness and the errors of men. And that's something that when we walk out of the light, we no longer have fellowship. He says if we say we're in the light and we walk in darkness, what happens? The truth is not in us. We're liars. The truth is not in us. They are walking in the wisdom and the foolishness of men rather than the revelation of the wisdom of God. They are forsaking the spiritual fellowship that's taught, established, in and through God's Word for the truth, the communion for the communion of the devil. They're exchanging the truth and the Word of God and what has been established by God for communion with the devil. Denominationalism, worldliness, sin, and modernism, they're all part of that social gospel platform. And it's so easy to dispel. You know, for probably 30 years, give or take, three or so many decades, the churches of Christ especially have been rushing headlong into sectarianism and denominationalism. But when that happens, you know, it's sad because our Bible clearly teaches us about things like the organization of the church. But when you look at the organization of the church, we have elders, deacons, pastors, elders, deacons, preachers, teachers, evangelists. That's the organization. Elders are overseers, not board of directors. We don't have centralized church activities where several churches pay one church to centralize the agent, to be the centralized agent. Sponsoring churches, overseeing elderships. Those aren't true fellowships. And so those things are of men, not of God. We are the ones who, over the years, have been taught and have taught about the growth and the development of the Catholic Church. We should be the first ones to know better than to be involved. We've been taught and developed the growth in the Christian Church. We've seen that in the Christian Church. And we've seen the damage that's done there, but we should know better. We have been taught about the errors of denominationalism, and we have taught about the errors of the denominationalism of organizations, conventions, synods, associations, councils, and we should know better. We have been taught of the autonomy of an independence and the equality of each and every individual congregation of Christ under its own elders, its own work, to carry its own load and to worship together in spirit and truth, and to attend to its own members. That's proper fellowship, proper discipleship, and we should know better than to be involved in the things of this world. Our Bibles clearly teach us about the organization, and we need to pay attention to that. The Apostle Paul commanded that they appoint elders in every location, every congregation. In Ephesus, elders for the church. Titus, elders for the church. The elders were to take heed and to be overseers over the flock. And so many churches have taken away that concept of elders and put in board of directors. And they create a one pastoral system. Listen, we don't want to see these things happen here. And I don't believe we ever will. Because of one reason. Because each individual member studies the Word. Because we have fellowship with God through the Word. That's how we're begotten. Remember, we're begotten of the Word. The problem was, and still basically is, threefold. Brethren, we're not that well taught. That's how the trouble comes in the first place. Unlearned members who make decisions and fall into apostasy. Most of them, oftentimes, they didn't even care. They want to see more kids, so they set up a daycare. Right? And they want to get more people of the community in, so they set up dinners, free dinners. Certainly those things meet spiritual or physical needs, but they don't meet the scriptural needs of fellowship. Whether we practice scriptural or authorized or not, oftentimes the problem with elders, preachers, and even members of a congregation is that they're hypocritical. They preach book, chapter, verse, but they allow things to come in. And that breaks fellowship with God and with one another. How can two walk together unless they agree? If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's examine that for just a second. If we're saying that we are in fellowship, communion, koinonia with Christ, but we don't walk according to Him, we don't walk according to the light of the Word, then we become liars. we're not practicing the truth. And that fellowship is broken. You can't take away those words if. Because if we walk in the light, it says we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Are you walking in the light tonight? Have you been? You know, we need to understand that being in the light means being in Christ. All the spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. The letter of Paul to the Ephesians teaches that. And the spiritual blessings that are in Christ, one of those, is, of course, the salvation of your soul. And if you haven't been baptized into Christ, that's the way to step out into the light. And if you're a member of the church and you have not been walking in true fellowship, God leaves that provision for us to step back into the light, to become reunited with Him by the repentance and confession. Those are God's ways to have continued fellowship. If you have a need this night, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and as we sing.